It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros NFL Draft Show. I'm your host, Derek Brown, and I'm joined, as always, by our lead NFL draft analyst, the man that has never seen an NFL combine prop that he didn't like, Thor Nystrom. And on today's show, we're going to be previewing the NFL combine, running through some of the most notable players at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and yes, tight end, that could swing their stock the most this week at the combine. Thor, dude, we got a lot of players to talk about, man. I'm excited, baby. The combine being here means we are that much closer to the NFL draft, dude.
Welcome to NFL combine week. Welcome to, we're about to be in Raz season. We're in the heart of draft season now. So yeah, very excited and very excited to chop it up with you today, D-Bro.
Oh, baby, Raz season. To those that celebrate, my condolences, congratulations. But dude, let's not waste any time here, baby. I mean, look, so we were going to dive into props and stuff on this show that had been our plan for the entirety of it. But as of recording this early Monday morning, we don't see any combine prop lines. As those come out, if they come out, you'll see, just follow Thor and I on Twitter. We'll be posting a lot of our stuff and maybe some content over Fantasy Pros, man. But we've got a ton of players to discuss in the show, Thor. So let's hop right into it, man. Quarterbacks. We've gotten word that Michael Penix and a bunch of other quarterbacks, I know you're going to lay out the list, there are guys that are going to throw at the combine, and some are choosing not to throw at the combine. Penix being one of the most notable, and coming off of what we both agreed was a down Senior Bowl showing, really he needs to nail this and go out and prove the evaluation of the arm talent, Thor. But like, how much do you think this like Penix throwing at the combine can help his stock?
I think it does a little bit, just in that that's his best thing with his evaluation, mm-hmm. is the arm talent. So it makes all the sense in the world for Michael Penix to go out there and throw. He's going to be joined by J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, confirmed are going to throw at the combine. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels have confirmed they will not. Jaden Daniels also is not going to athletically test. Still waiting for news on Drake May throwing. But as far as Penix, makes all the sense in the world he's going to throw again. That's the best thing on his evaluation. So that's important, but that's the part of it that we know he's going to do well at. I don't have any questions with that. So like in my mind, you're not proving anything to me by throwing, because I already know that you can throw and that you have the arm talent. The biggest thing for Penix at the combine is something that we don't know the outcome of in advance. That's what are the team medical personnel going to say when they start poking around and looking into his x-rays, into his whole medical evaluation. He needs a clean bill of health from those guys, from those different 32. And people out there need to understand too, it's not one doctor that looks at the kid and then gives the entire NFL his report. Each individual medical staff gets to look at him. And sometimes they have different opinions on what they're seeing, whatever. It's just like an evaluation, you know, just like an on-field evaluation, whatever. But Penix had four consecutive season-ending injuries at the beginning of his career at Indiana. Two of them were knee injuries. Obviously, he struggles with mobility, different stuff like that. Needs the clean bill of health, like I said. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt, or the context that the last 2 years at Washington, he didn't miss any time with injuries. So that's the good news of that. But we'll have to see what he hears back about his medicals.
So I want to ask you real quick before we jump over to the guy who I think is going to blow it out at the combine and really silence a lot of the haters. Do you think we get any of the reps? Because the classic combine rep, or at least a lot of the what we see at pro days and stuff, is the quarterback rolling out and then throwing on the run. We know that's something Michael Penix does. Do you think he does that at the combine or his pro day, Thor?
I don't know how much Penix is going to want to be moving around while he's throwing.
Agreed.
I think he wants his cleats glued into the turf and just doing that stuff. That's where he's going to put on the show. I think one of the next guys we're going to talk about is more looking to be running around while he's throwing during these events.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, we're kind of burying the lead here. I mean, welcome to J.J. McCarthy week, baby. I mean, look, him throwing at the combine, he's probably going to what? I mean, I haven't heard anything that's saying that he's not going to test, Thor. So I fully expect him to do all the testing, at least the 40 at bare minimum. But this is a guy we both love. People that have tuned into the quarterback episode, if you haven't listened to that yet, go back and check it out. A lot of JJ love on this podcast, man. But what do you see from him this week? Because I think he's going to light it up.
I do too. I think this is JJ McCarthy week. You know, this is a kid who was not, of course, at the Senior Bowl or any of the other All-Star events. So he hasn't been talked about as much as that. His process is just starting now. There's a lot of people out there that will speak at D-Bro, as you know, will speak on JJ McCarthy's game on social media and some of these different things that appear to have not watched him before.
You're just being nice. Let's just say they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Let's just throw it out there.
That's right. I mean, they're box score scouting. And I think this is McCarthy's first opportunity to be there on national TV. Of course, he's going to be in front of the NFL in the building and all the NFL media, everything like that. But this is his first opportunity to get on TV in front of some of these NFL fans that did not see his run to the college football playoff during the fall and into the early winter in college football. Because of the latter part of that season, once you got into the Big Ten schedule, October, November, get into the Big Ten title game, then the college football playoff, that kid's game really started to take off. And he has tools and physical tools. And I think this is what people don't understand well about him that haven't seen him before. He is a really, really good athlete. D-Bro, you and I think he runs in the 4.5 just based on his tape.
Yes,
there has been reports out of Michigan that he has run in the 4.4s during their offseason training and different stuff like that. The kid also has an incredible arm. The one of the weirder nitpicks about him on social media is like, oh, he doesn't have a strong arm. It's like, turn on the tape. I don't know what else to say. Not only does he have a super duper strong arm, it carries when he is on the move and running, which for most people it does not, including the accuracy. But he can throw those frozen robes on the move way downfield, including to the opposite hash, different stuff like that. So I think he's going to light it up during the throwing session. I think any athletic test he does, he is going to greatly surprise people. I agree with you, D-Bro. He should be running the 40, if nothing else. We don't know yet because we haven't heard that side of it. But we also know that JJ McCarthy is going to test incredibly well. Anyone that played with him, anyone that coached him, raves about JJ McCarthy. So this is a big week for JJ McCarthy, and I expect him to blow it up in Indy.
We both fully agree that we think he's going to run in the 4.5s. If he goes out and he runs in the 4.4s, Thor, I'm going to call it right now, social media is just going to melt down. Like, people are going to go insane. You're going to see all this kind of backtracking. And it's really like, well, we've already heard rumors of that. So really nothing's changed for you and me. And for a quarterback that I think, depending on where his ADP falls, I think that where he goes in dynasty rookie drafts is going to be very interesting. And if you're already trying to get a feel for that, then you have to be using our mock draft simulator over fantasypros.com/simulator. I mean, look, you can run through dynasty startups, rookie drafts, all these different types of formats. And JJ McCarthy is going to go in a lot of different places. We're going to see that ADP move, especially after the combine week, man. But I'm just going to frame it like this, Thor. There is no better setting for a player like Joe Milton than shorts and sleeveless t-shirts and running and throwing far and all those types of things that can get people to ooh and ah and all types of stuff, man. So, like, I think this is going to be another week, like, where we see a lot of people hyping up Joe Milton. We know he's going to test well. We know he can throw the ball 80 freaking yards. Who knows, on his knees, on his back, maybe, like, upside down. But this is a type of week that's built for a guy like Joe Milton.
Yeah, Joe Milton excels at everything to do with quarterback play when it is not in game conditions.
So everything but quarterback play.
He has that bazooka arm, crazy athlete. He has the prototypical frame, 6'5", I believe it was 242 that he measured in at the Senior Bowl. And the kid is athletic enough where he does standing backflips before the games. Not even like, you just like, you know, easy, whatever. He also hit 21.3 miles per hour on an 81-yard run against UTSA. Was not the only run during his college career where he was tracked over 20 miles per hour. So we know he has that too. And then he might enter the NFL with the strongest arm in the NFL. No joke. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Bruce Feldman has had him on multiple of his freak lists. In the column that he just put out last week, this is Bruce Feldman's sense. Bruce Feldman, not a guy known for hyperbole, pure, you know, ink stains, nacho stains on the shirt kind of journalist. The last sentence of his write-up on Joe Milton, quote, launching a ball 90 yards might not be out of the question, end quote. I don't know about that, but he could get dang close. He can definitely get it over 80. So we'll see. Joe Milton will put on a show in Indy. Still don't trust him to do the quarterback stuff.
No, I don't either, man. I mean, and really, this is one of those types of things that, like, all the NFL teams have already watched the film on all these guys. They know the intangibles. So when you hear, like, and we're going to hear it, if Joe Milton goes out there, and when he goes out there and he lights it up and he's throwing bullets everywhere, like, if that's the case, you're going to hear, oh, well, Joe Milton's rising in the ranks. I'll just say this. NFL teams already have their grades on guys. They've watched all the film and all that kind of stuff. They know how they feel about these quarterbacks and stuff. So you might be hearing that, but I don't think it's true. Like, Joe Milton can do a lot of things to help himself, in the sense that putting himself in on the radar for teams that are willing to take a shot on him in the middle rounds. But
and D-Bro, just to talk about, you know, the on-field stuff with Joe Milton, mm-hmm. I'm just going to give you three PFF stats for the people out there to give you an idea of what we're talking about. Keep in mind, Joe Milton, well, first of all, at the beginning of his career, he was coached by Jim Harbaugh, one of the better coaches that we have, as far as that, obviously J.J. McCarthy in this class, whatnot. And then the last couple of years, Joe Milton has been playing under Josh Heupel, who has arguably the most quarterback-friendly system in entire college football.
Yep.
Talked about it all last spring with Hendon Hooker. He cuts the field in half, so you only have to read that. Generally, you are going to your first read. So keep in mind that context when I tell you these stats. These are PFF percentiles. I'm going to give you three different ones. Milton, at or beyond the stick percentile last year, 10th percentile. Ew. Joe Milton, third and fourth down percentile, his efficiency in those downs, 9th percentile. That's when the defense knew it was coming, when he was throwing. And then last one, positively graded throw percentile last year. Joe Milton with his golden right arm, 10th percentile.
I mean, look, if you've ever turned on the film and you looked at the stats for Joe Milton, none of those stats surprise me. It's still painful to hear. But again, we think Joe Milton's going to go out and light it up at the combine, help his stock in that way. But moving over to running backs, man, we got to talk about one of the, I'm not going to say he's the most polarizing guy, but a guy at the NFL Combine that needs to go, has to go out there and test really well. Bucky Irving, man, 5'10", 195. The questions, I mean, the production is there, man. You could pull up all the tackle breaking metrics. He's near the top of the board in yards after contact per attempt, PFF rushing grade, all these different types of things. The film is good for Bucky Irving. But what we're going to hear in the process is he's 5'10 and he's 195. Can he be a feature back? Can he be a three down back? Can he hold up to the workload? And the things that can help him with, as far as his evaluation and his NFL draft stock, he has to go out and test well. Now, I've seen stuff, and correct me if I'm wrong, Thor, I've seen stuff out there saying Bucky Irving's been running in the 4.4s, mid 4.4s. I think he has to at least run in the 4.5s. And I think he can do that. If he gets in the 4.4s, that can dramatic and test well in the short area agility. I think that can answer some of the questions, because when you're not 220, 230, you're not 6 foot tall, things like that. You're not the prototypical size of a three down back in the NFL. You're a little bit more slight. You got to test well, man. You got to show that at that size, you are explosive. Do you see Bucky Irving doing that this week?
In terms of the agility, I think he tests very, very well. He's obviously a very slippery and elusive runner, yes. As everyone knows. That's what leads to all the broken tackles. It's not because he's a hammerback. The speed thing is where it gets interesting with him. And I agree with the way you set that up, D-Bro, of there are, you know, we'll see if they end up being optimistic reports or not. But we have seen some of those reports of in the mid 4.4s. I think that's what he needs to get to improve the stock a little bit. I think the holding serve kind of mark for Bucky Irving in the 40, in my opinion, is low 4.5s. When the NFS scouting service over the summer, what they send out, they had Irving between 4.5 flat and 4.55. I think if you get over 4.55, I think that is the danger zone for Bucky Irving. If he ends up running in the high 4.5s, that's where people are going to start to say, bro, you're 5'9", you're 190 pounds soaking wet, and you lack the high end speed. We like the other stuff. We like the receiving utility. I think it was 85 catches over the last 2 years. He can obviously break tackles, everything like that. But yeah, he needs to show the speed. He is going to show the agility, but we need to see a little bit of speed out of him.
If he runs now, this is the danger zone. This is the absolute just panic button. And you'll hear the comparisons. If he does not test well, if he runs in the 4.6s, I'm just giving the range of outcomes. Again, we talked about it. I think Bucky Irving runs in the 4.5s. I hope for his sake he gets in the 4.4s. If he runs in the 4.6s, I'm just throwing it out there right now, Thor, we're going to hear the Kyren Williams type of talk, considering his size, considering what he showed in college and the skill set and stuff. Tell me we're not going to hear those types of narratives if he does run a 4.6.
Yes, although I will say probably a little bit better of a receiver, but not nearly as good of a pass blocker. Kyren Williams, agreed, even at his size, would go in there and scrap. He had a good base, whatever. Bucky Irving is a complete turnstile, but you're sending him out as a receiver every time I'm passing downs.
Oh, agreed, man. And a guy, switching this over from a guy that we have questions about, like, not questions about, we think he's going to test okay, but he has to prove those parts of evaluation. This guy is a black box prospect at this point, Thor. We didn't get a chance to see him at Senior Bowl. He was rehabbing from stuff. Apparently, he's going to blow it out from everything we've heard on the back end this week. And I'm ready for the coming out party of Jalen Wright, man. How fast do you think he runs this week? And how much can he help his stock? Because I've already got a third round grade on him. I think that's where he goes.
So we've heard from, different things. He was the number 24 Feldman Freak Lister 2022.
Yes, sir.
He's about, let's see, the last measurements we had on him was a 5'11", 215-ish, like somewhere, yeah, in there, 210. I'm very curious to see where he ends up weighing in as well. But on the field, 23.6 miles per hour in practice. He has regularly gone over 20 miles per hour on the field on different runs. There's reports, and this is a Feldman report, of a 44-inch vertical in the past, a 10.8 broad jump.
Lord.
And Feldman reported in high school, he ran a hand time 4.28. Here's the thing that I can report. The thing that I have been hearing is out of the Florida facility that Jalen Wright has been training at, his 40-yard dash times in pre-combine training have been eerily similar to what Jahmyr Gibbs ran the year before at the exact same facility. And that's stuff that is happening in the weeks leading up to the NFL combine. And also that he's regularly been jumping over the 40 inches, which is no surprise because Feldman had him at 44 a year or two ago. That might have been the highest he has ever jumped. So we'll end up seeing, you know, with the small sample variance of you just get a couple of jumps or whatever. But he is definitely jumping over 40 inches. And I think he is going to be running in the 4.3s. I don't think I'm going out on any sort of a limb with that. Jalen Wright is going to be the star of the running back position.
I adamantly agree. And if you just turn on the film for Jalen Wright, like, you see the burst, you see the juice. And so expecting him to test well should not surprise anybody, man. And just to compare this, yes, Jahmyr Gibbs, 5'9", 199, went out and ran a 4.36. His 10-yard split was in the 83rd percentile at 1.52. I think Jalen Wright can hit both of those numbers. And that might sound hyperbolic. If you think it's hyperbolic, turn on his tape. Tell me that man does not look like he's shot out of a freaking cannon every time he gets the dang ball. So I'm excited, man. Again, like, we're talking about JJ McCarthy is really going to make himself some quiche, some money this week. I think Jalen Wright's going to do the same freaking thing, man. And for another guy that I don't know if he's going to be cashing checks, but he can at least prove the parts of his evaluation that we need to see. Audric Estime, man, 5'11", 227, power back. If you look up all the different tackle breaking stuff, 8th in yards after contact per attempt, 15th in elusive rating, how do you see him testing? And I'm going to also add this on top of here, Thor. Tell me, how much does he need to show in any of the receiving drills if he does them? Because this is still a guy that, look, we know what he can do on early downs, but as a guy that has never had more than 17 targets in any season in college, 1.1 yards per route run. I think one of the things, not only from his testing, but he needs to do the receiving drills and show well in those to sit here and help his draft stock.
Yeah, that's well said. Some of these running backs, they happen to get into systems where they feature them as as receivers, right? They let them do cool stuff like that. And then some guys they go into systems where they're not used as a receiver, whatever. We talked about this with Marshawn Lloyd. Isaiah Davis talked to us about this, about his experience in South Dakota State. Kamani Vidal talked about this at Troy. Like, these systems that we were in, they just didn't feature us as much as a receiver. It's more or less the same thing for Audric Estime. You're right about his receiving totals, although I will say I'm pretty sure that Audric Estime never dropped a ball in college. So the targets that he did get, he brought all them in. He does have the soft hands.
I got to go look this up.
We haven't seen him doing the cool stuff with the route running. You know, it's been a lot of the dump offs, whatnot, but he is reliable with that. I think showing a little bit of chops as far as running some sort of routes, showing some fluidness with that would help. We already know that he has the good hands as far as the on-field drills go. The testing is super important for SMA too, as you were talking about. He's that jacked up power back. And for his size, I like his feet enough. Certainly not joystick agility, but he has light feet for his size. You mentioned the tackle breaking. He drops the shoulders. He has really good balance too. Like, you'll see him take these shots and then he's immediately sort of centers himself. It might take him just like one movement to get, you know, back to center. And then he squares himself back up and he's chugging up field again. Like I said, better receiver than I think he gets credit for, but we'll have to see it as far as the route running aspect of that. But is he a good enough athlete to be an NFL starter? I mean, that's the thing that the testing is going to help us to determine. Average acceleration, average speed. I probably would have said below average speed outside of a couple occurrences this year where he put that into doubt. The big one was in September. He had an 80-yard touchdown run against NC State where he got up to 20.9 miles per hour. On that run, Estime actually ran away from two defensive backs. That's something that we had not seen on his film before that. Yeah, I mean, he, you know, prior to that and even since then, very few 40-plus yard runs against FBS competition. He did have a couple, though, in the latter part of the season. And like I said, that 80-yard one where, I mean, 21 miles per hour is no joke. If he can get – all Estime needs to do is what would you say, D-Bro? High four fives?
Four fives. Anywhere in the four fives.
Yeah, mid four fives would be great.
He'll check the box.
Yeah, and that's really all that he needs to do. I saw Lance Zierlein, who just dropped his different reports in advance of the combine, comped Estime to Jamal Williams. That one's perfect. Lance, if you're listening, I'm going to steal that comp. That's a really good one.
And to your point, Thor, I had to go look this up, man. I mean, Estime, I haven't dove all the way deep into his film yet and stuff, but good Lord, 26 collegiate targets, 26 collegiate receptions. Hit the nail on the head, man. And to your point, I think especially with the short area, not only in the long speed, but like it shows up in his numbers too, man. As a guy that until last season, we never saw him crest a 36% breakaway run rate. I mean, he was 44.1% in his final year at Notre Dame. So again, like you want to see that kind of stuff, guys trending up, not trending down. But it shows up in the numbers, that long speed or maybe some of the questions about that. But another guy that's going to have to answer questions here, man, Blake Corum. We know the pedigree. We know coming from Michigan, a guy that was really on the rise. And then 2023, his counting stats are fine. You could talk about the touchdowns and going to Michigan and all those different types of things that you want to, but we cannot get away from Blake Corum. What we also saw on the efficiency side, Thor, and I think he needs to go out and prove that he's all the way back from the knee injury, because the numbers are very concerning. If you look at just his yards after contact per attempt, this is a guy that went from 3.35, which is a passable number in 2023, to 2.42, in 2022, and in 2023, he went to 2.42. His breakaway run rate fell off the table, man. A guy who in his first 2 years was consistently in the 40% range dropped all the way to 31.8%. And considering his standing at 5'8", 213, I really think Blake Corum has to go out and test well. What would that look like? And do you see Corum doing that this week, Thor?
Yeah, he has a guy where there's a couple different traits about him that you love. I happen to running backs with that build, I just love the bowling ball types.
Short, squatty, and powerful, baby. Exactly. Let's go.
I really like that. And then Corum, you know, in that package, what he gives you, it's the really good agility, you know, including out in the second level. He'll start to slalom, go across the field, different stuff like that, cut back. He just makes people miss so well. And like I said, in conjunction with that vision, it's really cool. The two questions that he needs to answer in Indianapolis, the speed question, what is he going to run in the 40? There was very limited explosive runs that, you know, you were sort of setting that up. And then the durability thing, you know, and you were mentioning that as well. we'll see what the doctors end up saying, but he had that ACL injury in 2022. I think that that helps to explain some of the slow start stuff in 2023. Didn't totally look like himself till about the middle of the season on. Then you started to see vintage Blake Corum. That was, you know, as we got into the Big Ten schedule and then into that college football playoff run, obviously he capped the season in the 15th game against Washington by absolutely dominating them in the national title. We have to give the context of Washington's run defense was a train wreck all season. But Blake Corum, he has 731 touches in college. He has gotten a lot of usage. You know, we hear this talking point a lot when people are talking about J.J. McCarthy. Oh, but they had the dominant run game. They have Blake Corum and blah, blah, blah. Corum obviously ran behind a really good offensive line in college, so everything set up well for him. He also wasn't used a ton as a receiver. This is another guy where the system wasn't using him that much as far as that goes. So the other thing, the third one that I would mention with him is in the on-field drills, seeing him run around, catching those passes. What can he show with that? He's another guy who, although he was used sort of sparingly, down the stretch this past season during that title run, I liked what I saw of him in some limited sample size receiving looks, certainly as far as the outlet guy, the soft hands. And then you get the thing where he becomes dangerous in the open field because of the vision thing, because of the agility thing, and he has enough power to break those arm tackles. Just need to prove the speed, the durability, stuff like that. As far as the speed goes, Corum did get up to 21.1 miles per hour on a run last year, got over 20 miles per hour on a couple others. That's kind of where we're sitting in the speed, just slightly higher than estimate in terms of what we've seen with the on-field tracking.
Yeah, and just on his numbers one more time, man, and going back to singularly just looking at certain games, just to talk about how concerning last year was from an efficiency standpoint, and I think kind of like puts a bow on this as far as he needs to prove that he's all the way back. It was bad, dude. Like, he only had two games where he crossed 3.0, two singular games where he crossed 3.0 yards after contact per attempt. He had nine games last year, Thor, nine, where he broke two or fewer tackles. He legit had, looking here on his ledger, he had two games where he broke no tackles at all, and three other games where he only forced one missed tackle. So really, he's got to come out and prove that he is all the way back, man. And for that type of archetype for running back, especially, again, we're talking about the size, he needs to go out and test well in every facet and prove the health, but with the times, man. So if you want to build teams that have guys like Blake Corum, they're short, squatty, possibly powerful, can take over the workhorse role, man, you got to head to realitysportsonline.com. By now, I know you, most of you have already heard of Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy teams like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it yet? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and so much more. You think it sounds complicated? It's really not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online is the fantasy front office is that it doesn't take any more time in a standard league. It just requires more strategy. You think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can head to test out your general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction right now. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or your league today. That's the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thor, talking about some real things that need to happen at the Combine, baby. We have got to see a really fantastic showing for Keon Coleman. We have talked about him as far as on the Polarizing Players episode. We're going to discuss him in future on our wide receiver episodes. But for a guy that if you just look at his profile, you look at the counting stats, whatever you want to look at for Keon Coleman, it's all pretty divisive, man. It's a wide range of things. You can either fall in love with him if you look at certain aspects, or you could be kind of like me and fade him. What do we need to see out of Keon Coleman this week for him to really help himself? Because I think his draft stock's going to float between the first round and the second round. What does he need to do to try to insulate himself to stay in that first round conversation?
He needs to test well enough in the speed and the agility drills.
What does that look like?
Would be the short version of that.
What does his 40 need to be this week, man? Because you and I have kind of gone back and forth on this. I think there's a possibility he could run in the 4.6s. I think he's probably more likely a 4.5 guy, and his vert is really freaking good. It shows up on his tape, man. But what do you see him testing as? Do you think he runs a 4.5? 4.6? Yeah, do you think his vert's good or what?
The vert's going to be incredible. That's the one thing where we know. The speed, you know, that's more, you're curious about that because the ball skills downfield are really good. He can jump out of the gym and different stuff like that, but it's, can he get downtown on NFL cornerbacks? That's one thing he has to prove. I do think he's going to run right around 4.5 flat. I think he's a bit faster than you, and it wouldn't stun me if it was the high 4.4s. Or like, to me, it's going to be somewhere, if I had to guess, I would guess somewhere between 4.48 and 4.52. That would be the range that I'm in. Like I said, the jumping speaks for itself. I expect the acceleration to be decent, you know, as far as the 10-yard split, stuff like that. But I need him to prove that though, because there is questions about that. And then the big one too, is he going to do the agility drills or is he going to duck them? If he does the agility drills, how will those be? We've seen receivers like this that have the similar skill set where there's big questions about the agility profile, flat skip them. We've seen other ones where they do them and then they fall on their face. DK Metcalf, I'm looking at you. But Coleman has the size, the prototypical size. and the really, really good hands. And he's showing that he can do stuff in contested situations as well. Like I said, the jump ball guy downfield, former basketball player, speaking of the jumping, not only that, was really good in high school. He played for Tom Izzo at Michigan State. And Tom Izzo, obviously, is one of the great college basketball coaches of all time. And then, you know, of course, like he was going two ways at Michigan State just for a little bit. Then he, you know, decided to focus on football. Of course, then he transfers to Florida State last spring. And then this year we had that weird season where more than 30 balls that were thrown at him were charted as not catchable. He typically caught the stuff that was in his sort of vicinity, whatever. But yeah, I think what's going to happen with the agilities, and then exactly where does that, is he closer to the speed that I think he is, or is he the closer to the speed that you think he is?
Yeah, look, I could see him possibly getting in the four fives. If it is, I think he barely ekes by, and I think he gets into like the high four fives. I think he's more likely a 4.6 guy. But here's the thing. If there's any questions about that, like if he's been testing and his agents have all, then you know what he's running. So for me, like if I'm his agent, I'm saying, okay, if he's running in the 4.6, he's not running the 40. If he can go out there and get in the four fives, and this is only like, because we're only counting your best attempt. So if he goes out there and he runs a 4.6, 4.61, a 4.58, then fine. Then let him run. Let him run the 40 if he gets into the 4.5s. If I'm Keon Coleman, I'm running the 40, I'm doing the vert, and I'm out. Like, I'm not doing the short area. I'm not doing any of that other crap. I want people to sit here and say, I'm going to look, go back to my tape. I'll show you on my tape that I'm agile enough, especially if he's not going to test well in those parts. But moving over to a guy that we think kind of probably tests out the freaking gym, Thor. And this is a guy that's the size of a damn gym. Johnny Wilson, baby. I mean, look, we gushed about him going into Senior Bowl. We never got reports on that. We're hoping that he does test, because if he did leave Senior Bowl in Mobile with any type of injury, maybe he doesn't test. But we're going to operate under the assumption that he does this week. I've seen reports that he's running the 4.5s before, Thor. If he does that at his size, oh baby. I'm here for the Johnny Wilson hype machine, because if you look at his analytic profile, man, it's pretty. We've seen what he could do on the field, man. I want him to go out there and show people. But do you think he does that, and where do you think his athletic testing comes down? I mean, 40, vert, all those types of things.
I think he needs to run in the 4.5s. And the reason I think that is because Johnny Wilson is adamant that he is going to play boundary receiver in the NFL, that he wants that opportunity. He did not want to test, he did not want to practice as the big slot tight end fella when we were down at the Senior Bowl. He wants to be the outside guy. And after the last 2 days, after the first 2 days of practice down in Mobile, he felt he had done enough and he pulled out of the last day down there. He obviously, that's what he wants to be. Johnny Wilson's agility is not going to be very good. In fact, I would expect that he wouldn't do it. The agility drills will follow in Hakeem Butler's footsteps and skip those, whatever. Because
of Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman's footsteps.
Keon Coleman's going to be faster than that. You know, with all those things in mind, he needs to test decently fast. Mid 4.5s, I think, is right around where he needs to be. Just because of that, he needs to show that he has that special sauce of the ridiculous size, the catch radius, and then that north-south stuff. We know that the jumping is there and the explosion, so the split should be pretty good. He has a reported vertical jump of 35.5 inches, a broad jump of 10.5, and then his highest game speed that we have on the tracking, 21.2 miles per hour. So that's what we need to see.
Okay.
The agility, if I was his agent, I would tell him not to do it, but that would just be me.
Yeah, no, I adamantly agree, man. It's these types of forums. It's how can you help yourself, and the things that are going to hurt you, then what's the point? Why are we doing that? And that's what always kind of floors me. It's like, we see guys, I'm looking at you, Kayshawn Boutte, which, like, you know, you're not going to test well. You know, you've been out there and like the hand times or whatever, like whatever you're getting tracked as, then why are you going to show NFL teams that you are slow? Like, just say like, oh, well, I'm not going to test, or I'll do it in my pro day, or problematic hammy. Just flare it up. Can't run today. Oops. Sorry. Like, why would you even worry about that, man? But from guys that we're worried about the testing, a guy that we think tests well and can prove that last year's stats were not a fluke, baby. 5'8", 194, Malik Washington. If you just look at the counting stats last year, Thor, they're amazing, man. Went from Northwestern, transferred to Virginia, finished the season with 111 grabs, second in PFF receiving grade, and 11th in yards per route run. Like, I mean, his ledger is just littered with awesome numbers, man. But what do you see out of Malik Washington this week? And where, if he goes out and he tests well, where could you see him going in the NFL draft? I could see him getting him to third round. Am I wrong?
I think there's a big band of outcomes here. So, yeah, I mean, that's by definition, it makes him his week coming up very important for him. He's a guy who earlier in his college career, I mean, we didn't talk about him at all. He was at Northwestern. He was a little bit of an afterthought. And then he started to jump onto the scene a little bit. And then when he gets to Virginia, especially this last season, you know, goes absolutely nuclear. That was a, you know, 1,400 plus yards and the 9 touchdowns, 100. Was it 11 receptions last year, but mm-hmm. a lot of them came near the line of scrimmage. Now, this is not necessarily his fault. It, you know, it's not a Malachi Corley thing where he had years and years and years to do it, but he still couldn't mm-hmm. develop the route tree, whatever. With Virginia this past season and their offense, it was, they had to manufacture short touches to Malik Washington to move the ball whatsoever. They had zero running backs. Their quarterback situation, they had an uninspiring FCS veteran that got injured immediately, this Tony Musket kid. Then they had to put in a true freshman, Calandria, who, I mean, at this point, was not ready to play. So they had to do the short stuff. He couldn't sit back there in the pocket, read the whole field, whatever. Malik Washington was their only source of offense. So this was more utilitarian as far as it goes with the Virginia offense as a whole than he can't do the other stuff. So the other stuff is what you're sort of thinking about for his NFL projection. We know he can catch the ball short, create a little separation to open up that window right after the snap, whatever. And then we know that he can run with the ball afterwards. Cause he's, I mean, you can think about him like sort of like a Corley in this regard, that he sort of has the build of a running back and he runs mm-hmm. with that sort of power. I like his agility. The big question with him, it's the speed thing. And that not only goes with the athletic profile, it goes with the idea of, could this guy win intermediate and down the field? Mm-hmm. It's a big question with him. If he comes in at his size and runs in the high 4.5s or even the low 4.6s, I think that's where an enormous shadow of doubt has been put over his evaluation. And then you can start to do the thing of, well, I know he had a bunch of catches last year, but he was the only guy they were throwing to him every single time. And it was all these manufactured touches. However, if he tests, if he runs faster than that, let's say he's high 4.4s or low 4.5s, you already know he has the agility. Like I said, I think he's going to test well as far as that goes. Now you can start to go the other way. And that area of doubt that is on his evaluation, you can give him the benefit of the doubt on that because of the situation he's in. And also say the athletic testing profile suggests he could be able to win down the field too.
Yeah. And just to draw, this is not a direct comparison, but we're talking about a guy around a similar size. I don't think that Malik gets this type of draft capital, but just to put a button on this, Zay Flowers last year, 5'9", 182, went out and ran a 4.4. Malik, I'm not saying he needs to get in the 4.4s, but he needs to run like in the mid to low 4.5s and then test. If he doesn't get into 4.4s, if he runs in the 4.5s, he needs to blow out the short area agility or just not do it. Because that's if you're not going to blow it out, I would rather you just not test and not continue to kind of like hurt your draft stock in that way. But you know, I think he does go out and he tests well, Thor, but we'll see, man. Moving over to tight ends, and these next three guys we're going to bring up, I mean, really, we should just talk about this is the battle royale, the fight to the death for the tight end 4, maybe the tight end 3 in this class, and these three guys are going to be duking it out, man. Let's kick this off with Eric Aall, a guy that, look, going from Michigan to Iowa, 6'5", 250, he has the size. He has the numbers on the page. 16th in PFF receiving grade, 3rd in yards per route run. How do you think he tests? Because I'm going to throw this at you, Thor. I went way down the rabbit hole, dude. I found his numbers from one of the Nike camps in 2018. Now, he did measure in at 6'4", 214. So a lot of adjusting as far as like he's gained a lot of weight. His size, and yes, he's been in a collegiate strength and conditioning program, but he ran a 4.95 40, and he had a 4.2 20-yard shuttle and a 34.5 vertical jump. Do you see Eric Aall blowing those numbers out, or is he going to have a problem testing? Where do you see his week coming down at this week?
Yeah, Eric Aall, we have to see if he can even test. The kid tore his ACL in October, so I would sort of doubt it for this event. We'll have to see at the pro day, but it might be a wash as far as the tests go, which I don't – it's good news for teams that are potentially see him like I do as far as a sleeper, that he's not going to get the opportunity to answer some of those questions if in fact, it turns out that he cannot because of it. But – you have two things going on here. It's number one, the whole medical rap sheet. He also had a season-ending back injury in 2022. That was when he was at Michigan. He joined Cade McNamara, transferring over to Iowa last season. Looked good at the beginning of the season before he had that ACL tear in October. I thought he was going to go back to Iowa, and at the very last minute, he decided to jump into the draft. On tape, one of the reasons I see him as a sleeper in this tight end class is because he definitely has the size, and he definitely can play both in line. You can bring him out to the slot. He has the receiving skill, the receiving chops. He also on tape, in my view of it, shows the speed and shows the athleticism. I think there's an efficiency in his route running, doesn't waste movement, efficiency into and out of those route breaks. Certainly has the speed to threaten the seam. We've seen this over the last couple of years when he has been able to be on the field. Not a mauler of a blocker, but knows what he's doing, gets after it, uses his length, and then tries to play the angles, whatever. As far as the receiving goes, like I said, you see the skill with him. The only thing with the on-field thing as far as the tape goes is just want to see a bit more consistency there, where sometimes he'll make the really, really awesome catches. Like you saw him dig some balls out at the ground right before they were about to hit there. You'll see him spear the ball outside of his frame, go up and get it, different stuff like that. You'll also see the occasional bad concentration drop going the other way. So just need to clean some of that stuff up. I think staying on the field consistently will help him out with that. Obviously, he was injured the last couple of years, but I think he's a better athlete than those high school numbers suggest.
Yeah, and I want to throw that out there. And yes, do we all agree that being in a collegiate strength program and conditioning, and these kids growing and stuff like that over the next like 2 to 3 years, 9 times out of 10, do they come out stronger, faster? Yes, but we have to mention it here, man, since we're talking about the testing and whether he's able to or not, or if some of them get shoved to his pro day, maybe he doesn't test. If that's the case, maybe he could be a value for some team that looks at the film and says, you know what, we believe this guy, whether it's miles per hour, whether whatever tracking data you want to pull up, or just sheerly for the numbers, we believe this guy can play and we can get him at a value because if he doesn't test. Over to a guy that, again, has the prototypical size, Jared Wiley, 6'6", 253. This guy has put up some pretty good numbers, Thor. I mean, if you look at yards per out run versus man coverage, you look at PFF receiving grades, like last year, 19th in yards per route run. How do you see Wiley testing? Because there's some numbers out there, like he's run a 4.8 40, which really puts him on the fringe, man. Do you think he's going to be faster than that? And how do you see his testing week panning out?
I think he needs to be. Yeah. I mean, some of those numbers painting him from the, you know, more optimistic side of things. The other way is this kid's a mediocre blocker. That's being generous. And then last year, second lowest ADOT of the entire tight end group, had only two contested catches despite that enormous size, the enormous frame. And he broke only 3 tackles. If you're getting the low ADOT and you have that kind of size, you'd expect that would facilitate some broken tackle opportunities, but you didn't get that either. Jared Wiley, the NFS in the offseason, what they sent out to the NFL from his testing was 4.8 flat to 4.85. He really needs to run minimum 4.7s or he is in trouble, because the rest of this profile does not play. You and I were not super duper impressed with him down in Mobile. He does have the soft hand short, but the problem is he doesn't separate at all. So that's why it has to be the short area stuff for him. But then when he gets the ball, he doesn't break any tackles. So it's like, if he's not going to give you the blocking and all he can do is manufactured short touches, it's just not something that the NFL will value. But so he needs to test better than maybe is anticipated right now.
Yeah. I mean, you're running, I could pretty much say from a fantasy perspective, if you run in the 4.8s, it's a coffin nail for your fantasy production. The guys that are produced in the NFL running 4.8s, you can name them literally on one hand. Isaiah Likely is one of those guys. Now, what his career turns out to be, we'll see.
But Likely could change directions and certainly had way better ball skills, so he could win down the field a little bit. My other concern with Wiley is he changes directions like the Suez Canal tugboat. It, like, so you have both the lack of speed and then the lack of change of direction. It's like, yeah, I like that you have soft hands and you're big, but like, how is this going to translate to the NFL if you can't separate, you can't run away from anyone?
No, it's true, man. And like I said, like the names of the guys over the last like 10 to 15 years that have really been fantasy producers, and I'm not going to say just even consistent guys that have run the 4.8, it's not a lot of guys, man. Like we're talking about Heath Miller, Kyle Rudolph, Isaiah Likely. It's a very short list and it's not a pretty list, man. But speaking of short, a guy that measured in, unfortunately, quite short from where he was listed at in college, Jaheim Bell. He's got to go out and just blow up the combine, Thor, because for everybody out there, and this is not, if you go to multiple stat pages, you go to everywhere you want to look at all of his numbers, his statistical stuff, box scores, everywhere. Everywhere still has Jaheim Bell listed at 6'3", baby. He's not that tall, Thor. We saw it in Mobile. He measured in at 6'1", 244. And if you don't think that's concerning, pull up the list of names. Go Google it. Pull up the list of names of tight ends that have been successful in the NFL playing at 6'1". When you get below 6'3", 6'4", that list gets extremely short. You get to 6'1", and it's basically non-existent. So Jaheim Bell, again, we're talking about guys that didn't really show us a lot in Mobile. Like, I don't think anybody's walking away from Mobile and Senior Bowl and saying Jaheim Bell really won the week. He crushed it, especially at this size. What does he have to do at the combine in his testing? Because we've seen reports of him running a 4.5 in high school. He supposedly jumped a 37.5 vert. Even if he puts up those types of numbers, can that really help him, Thor? Because I'm worried about him. Like, measuring in 2 inches shorter than you're listed is huge.
It's not only going to help him. His testing is going to make or break him. This profile requires a really good testing profile for evaluators to be able to believe that it will play at the next level. You're trying to decide, is this guy a quadruple A tweener or is he an NFL move piece weapon? And the testing is what is going to move you on that. On film, you saw all kinds of different stuff, right? Like both at South Carolina and then at Florida State. He has won on the boundary before. Our friend Brett Whitefield posted a clip of him torching Kamari Lassiter, the projected top 50 pick, when Bell was on the outside, ended up having a 45-yard catch as a boundary receiver. We have seen him in the slot. We have seen him lined up in the backfield. We've seen him in line. We even saw him in 2022 at the end of the season. South Carolina had this biblical plague of running back injuries where they didn't have any scholarship healthy running backs on the roster left by November. So they were like, oh, well, let's just move Jaheim to running back for a couple games. Then Jaheim's running for over 100 yards sight unseen as the running back. So he does a lot of that different stuff. I like the yak as a receiver. And I like at times when he was the featured dude, what he produced. You go back to 2021. Jaheim Bell had the highest yards per route run season by a Power 5 tight end since 2015. That was 3.67. Brock Bowers had 3.01 in 2022, and last season, 2023, 2.65. That finished fourth and sixth on that list. Number two on that list of Jaheim Bell's 2021 was Kyle Pitts in 2020, his last season, 3.26. 0.4 of a yard lower, 0.41 lower. I'm sorry. So Jaheim Bell significantly higher when used as a receiver that season. Like I said, the next season they were moving them all over, including at running back. Then this past season at Florida State, they had all these different weapons. So he was never the featured dude. They had Johnny Wilson, who we just talked about, Keon Coleman, who we talked about earlier in the episode. Obviously Trey Benson, then Jordan Travis. He had to be used plenty as a runner as well, you know, doing stuff with him while he was healthy, whatnot. So Jaheim Bell became this sort of ancillary guy, whereas trying to use his entire skill set, like at points earlier in his career at South Carolina, he was just the tertiary ancillary type guy on that Florida State team. Maybe didn't use all of his skill set, stuff like that. But like I said, there's things about him I like. I like the north-south thing. I like the skill he's shown at all these different deployments, different stuff like that. And I think he'll test well. I want to, as far as the north-south speed, but he needs to prove that to me. And then also I would like to see the agility. I would like to see the jumps as well. for him to prove that as well. If he puts forward a really good athletic profile, let's say 80th percentile RAS or above, I think that's when you can start to dream on him as this move piece around your offense, whatnot. Team like the 49ers, I think, would love a kid like this where you can line him up anywhere. He can do any different thing if he tests well enough. If he doesn't, that's when he's going to be looked at as that quadruple A tweener.
Yeah, and if he's a tweener, and because we're talking about the size and stuff, and if he doesn't test like a Marvel superhero, then you're talking about a guy that could go, if he proves that he is an uber ridiculous athlete, third round, fourth round. If he doesn't prove that at his size, you're talking about round five, round six. Maybe he falls out of the NFL draft. Because here's the thing. What's the role for him if he's not as athletic as he needs to be to win at 6'1", 240? Like, then you're casting him into what? He's basically just a part-time rotational role. It's like, okay, well, then he's Mike Gesicki without the upper receiving chops.
Mike Gesicki could eat Jaheim Bell. It's more like Kylan Granson with less
that's
athleticism.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah. No, that's fair. And that's where I come down. It's like, what would his role be on a team? He's going to be an only receiving tight end that's not really big enough to play that role. So does he move to wide receiver? Like, what would that look like? But you're talking about a guy that goes from third, fourth round draft stock to fifth, sixth round priority UDFA. And that sounds harsh, but that big discrepancy in size makes you not just an outlier. It makes you, maybe this just doesn't even happen. Again, when we went to Mobile, Thor, like I was telling you, I was like looking at Jaheim Bell and you rattled off of his analytical profile. Like, it's really freaking impressive as a guy that over the last 3 years, every single season has been top 12 amongst tight ends in yak per reception and missed tackles forced. So like the numbers are there, but he has got to back it up with the testing, dude. So I'm excited for all these guys in combine week with JJ is going to go out and blow it up. Jalen Wright's going to blow it up, man. So everybody needs to stay tuned. And look, Thor and I are going to be back next week. We're going to have a treat for you next week. We're going to be recapping the combine. You need to get subscribed to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel. We are going to be joined by a special guest, friend of the show, Pat Fitzmaurice. It's going to be a good time, baby. That's all Thor and I got for you this week. We're out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok @FantasyPros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.